let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. It's June, that's Pride Month, and there's a lot of pride to be had all over the Bay Area. And you know how I feel about libraries. Well, we're combining the two. It's like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of Pride. We've got people from the Berkeley Public Library. I would like to welcome Damarion Gibson. Hello.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about you, Damarion. Like, first of all, how did you, when did you decide that you wanted to be a librarian?
Well, actually, I'm a library assistant. I'm about to start school to become a librarian.
Oh, excellent.
I've always really, really enjoyed libraries. I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, growing up, the library was always like my kind of like escape place from just stuff that I would see like in my neighborhood and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could just kind of you know,
chill.
Go to the library and not really and kind of create my own world and find books and things that allow me to escape from harsh realities as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always just like a safe haven for me. So I've always enjoyed libraries.
Excellent, excellent. So, and you're going to start school this this coming semester?
Yeah, in the fall.
Ooh, yep. Like, when did you discover that you could actually go to school to be a librarian?
I guess when I started working in libraries, I started, you know, I started having colleagues that, you know, were, going for their MLIS and just started becoming kind of interested in it. Yeah, just for me, because I also am a children's author, so anything that allows me to be around books and be inspired by books and stuff like that, you know, it doesn't feel... I mean, it's work, but it doesn't feel like, it feels purposeful, you know what I mean?
I understand.
So, if I can make that like a full-time career kind of thing, all the way for it, you know?
Excellent, excellent. And you say you've published some children's books?
Yeah, so I have one children's book. It's called Annalisa's Cough.
Ooh, what's it about?
It's a book about environmental racism, but it's a fantasy story, and it breaks it down to kids in a way where they can understand it. So it's very educational. It's not, it has a lot of like metaphors and like not so straightforward things, but it breaks down these very complex topics to kids in a way where they can understand, but it's very lighthearted and fun.
Oh, very good. And what's it called again?
Annalisa's Cough.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to have to get that because I have a very good friend named Annalisa, so it's nice that there's actually a book with her name in it.
That's cool. Well, I hope she likes it.
I think she will. Well, but let's talk about June. You've got a program going on called Pride After Dark. Tell our listening audience a little bit about that.
Yes. So this upcoming Thursday, June 12th, at the Berkeley Public Library, we have an event called Pride After Dark, a celebration of house music and also queer vibes. I've been putting together programs for the past couple of months that just kind of dive into the history of certain genres of music. And I feel like for Pride Month, I really wanted to dive into the history of house music and also highlight that, you know, just the connection that it has between Black communities and queer communities. Because I feel like a lot of times, with Pride and also with house music, there are people kind of like to kind of cherry pick the things that they want to celebrate or highlight, and mm-hmm. they kind of ostracize or leave out other things. Mm. And then when you look through the history, it's just so much that you can't really separate. You know what I mean? So when you look at house music, it was very much born in queer nightclubs and in the warehouse in Chicago, you know, mm-hmm. late 70s. That was a black and Latino gay club. And, you know, Frankie Knuckles and, you know, all these people, they, you know, they crafted the sounds there. And, you know, even the sort of, you know, in Chicago as well, the disco demolition night, right? Like disco.
What's disco demolition?
Disco demolition night was in Chicago. There was a DJ named was it Steve Dahl?
Okay.
Or DJ something Dahl. He was frustrated because disco was becoming more popular than rock music. So the disco DJs were replacing the rock DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And he started this whole anti-disco campaign.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. There's a Netflix documentary on it, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he put all these disco records into a dumpster at the White Sox baseball stadium and detonated them and set them on fire.
Right.
And there was this whole thing, but a lot of the sort of hatred of disco music came from a blatant racism, mm-hmm. blatant anti-blackness, but also like a certain homophobia
yes.
as well. You know, there was just a lot of, you know, like very gender expressive, you know, expressions in the music. And I feel like it made a lot of people, it showed a lot of biases. You know what I mean?
Sure. So, yes. Well, then
so
let's...
when you have, you know, folks creating these spaces like the warehouse and stuff like that, they were kind of, you know, it was a disco club. It was a gay disco club. And
mm-hmm.
they kind of had to create their own sort of thing. And then mm-hmm. that's where house music kind of comes from. So, you know, you have people who will, you know, celebrate or try to, you know, participate or celebrate house music, but then will deny the queer parts of it, or
sure.
will deny the black and brown parts of it. You know what I mean? As
yes.
house music or dance music spread across the world, a lot of that gets erased.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or even with Pride as a celebration, a lot of the black or brown contributions get kind of erased. So we just wanted to, so myself and then also my colleague, Stephanie Torres,
mm-hmm.
She's a teen librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's, you know, we wanted to make sure that there was a Pride center space that that honored that history of black and brown folks first. It's welcome to all people, but it acknowledges that history. And then also that we're doing a house music thing that, you know, that just connects that link between all of those things, right? So it's like, yes, it's black and brown history and then also the queer elements as well. And just making it a safe place where folks can learn that history and then also just participate and have fun.
And that's happening at the Berkeley Public Library. Is it happening at a specific branch or is it happening system-wide?
So it's happening at a specific branch, the West Berkeley branch. It's on 1125 University Avenue. It's on the cross street is a university in San Pablo.
Okay.
So that's going to be on this Thursday, June 12th, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have a photo booth where people can come by and take pictures with their friends and family, whatever. We're going to have a candy bracelet making station.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a collective art piece that people can work on. And then we'll have DJs throughout the whole night playing music. So we're going to have some folks might know, but there's a black house collective called Elements.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have DJ Patrick Wilson from Elements, who has a pretty lengthy resume in the black house community, you know, so he's going to have a DJ set. And then also a friend of mine, Jen Lee Balbay, They are a DJ, a choreographer, just a multi-hyphenate artist, and they, you know, are incredible when it comes to putting together house music sets. So we're going to have some DJs playing music, and then folks will just be, you know, working, doing arts and crafts, and you know, and there'll be a little photo booth where people want to take pictures. And for the collective art piece, it's basically like a queer pride timeline, right? So we'll have it's kind of hard to describe, but like people will, when people arrive, they'll kind of see it. But it's a collective art activity. We'll be making a timeline of history and drawing and just doing all these cool things. So everybody's welcome to come.
Excellent. And one more time for our listening audience, when, where, what time?
Okay. So the event is called Pride After Dark, celebration of house music and queer vibes. It is happening at the West Berkeley Library on 1125 University Avenue in Berkeley, California, from 5:30 to 7:30. Yeah.
And if people want to find out more about what the library is doing for Pride Month, how would they go about doing that?
So you can go to berkeleypubliclibrary.org, and under the events, there should be a tab for Pride Month. And then I'm also, me and Stephanie, we're part of a collective called In the Stacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we do live music events and also DJ events. There's also a page for that in the library as well. So this is the In the Stacks event. We had an event that was pretty highly publicized, for Black History Month. We did like the history of funk music.
Mm-hmm.
And that went pretty well. And it was a very fun event, where we taught people how to make bell bottom jeans, while I DJed and played, funk records from different eras. So we explore the history of different music and have art activities to go with it, or we'll have live bands or live performers come and do sets as well. So it's called In the Stacks, and that's a collective of Berkeley Public Library workers.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Damarian, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for being patient with us while we worked out our technical issues. I really appreciate
it's all love. I appreciate you for, just allowing the time for me to talk, and I hope everybody that's tuned in, you know, is having a wonderful day, sending my love to everybody that's out there in L.A. right now. Sending my love to everybody in Palestine and Congo and everywhere else, man. And appreciate y'all. All right.
I appreciate you. Thank you. All right, people of Earth, that's your opportunity. Go check out the library in Berkeley. Just go and do it. So go enjoy. Giving you a little flavor of house music from back in the day. That's a song I used to dance to. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. You know I do like the Scintillating Science Mondays, and I do that because the Wonderfest crew is always there to give me a scientist to talk about science in a way that touches your mind. I'd like to talk about the person who's running Wonderfest, as in my opinion. I'd like to welcome the shapely and talented Tucker Hyatt. Hello.
Hello, Marilyn. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. So, Tucker, before we get started, tell the listening audience a little bit about Wonderfest and how long it's been around and how it got its humble beginnings.
Sure. Wonderfest, subtitle, is the Bay Area Beacon of Science. It is 28 years old. It got started in 1997, mm-hmm. inspired by the great astronomer and science popularizer Carl Sagan. Mm. And Sagan wrote a book called The Demon Haunted World, subtitled Science as a Candle in the Dark. And there was a line in that book that really grabbed me. Sagan said, "I hold that the popularization of science is successful if, at first, it does no more than spark the sense of wonder." And voila, Wonderfest was born and has been going pretty strong for, again, 28 years.
And then when did you get involved with Wonderfest?
I confess I founded it, having been inspired by Sagan. I was a high school teacher at the time, a high school physics teacher, mm-hmm. loving my classroom work, but wanting to do something that would bring science to the general population. Mm-hmm. And so Wonderfest has been doing that. And then I think to this day, Wonderfest puts on free events in mainly up in Marin, just about a half-hour drive north of San Francisco, at a place called Hop Monk Tavern. Mm-hmm. These are free events at Hop Monk Tavern in the town of Novato. They happen on usually the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month. And I'll be happy to tell you about some upcoming events if you think that's interesting.
My listening audience has made it clear that they find it interesting. So go ahead.
You know, I love your sharing your microphone with the Science Envoys, Wonderfest Science Envoys. That first Monday of every month with you on a Scintillating Science Monday is just wonderful. And I try not to overuse that wonderful adjective.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, but let our listening audience know some stuff that they can go to and just be enthralled.
Okay. This is tomorrow, Tuesday, June 10th, up at Hop Monk Tavern in Marin, in Novato. The title of the event is rather exotic. It's Flamingo Vortex Traps, How Physics Redefines Nature. Mm. So this talk is all about in nature. And the talk is being given by a great professor at UC Berkeley, Professor Victor Ortega Jimenez. Mm-hmm. He's in the biology department, the integrative biology department at UC Berkeley. He's a great teacher as well as a great scientist. And this event's free. If you've ever been curious about how physics works its wonders through evolution, really, in nature, this will be a great event. Starts at 7 p.m. and ends about 8:30.
Okay, okay. And do you need to buy your tickets in advance, or can you just show up at the door?
Yeah, no ticket necessary. You just show up. We have Hop Monk Tavern serves good food and good wine and good beer. They also they have a regular music venue adjacent, attached to their restaurant. Uh-huh. That's called the Session Room. And twice a month, the Session Room is dedicated to science through Wonderfest. So when you get there, you don't need any ticket. You just say, "Where's the Wonderfest event?" And they will point you towards the Session Room. That's, again, 7 o'clock tomorrow night for natural physics. And then there'll be, in coming weeks, there'll be events quite similar. For instance, 2 weeks later, on June 24th, again, at Hop Monk's Session Room, uh-huh. there'll be the Science of Love. There'll be, and 2 weeks after that, we have Evolution on Trial, some of the untold history behind the famous Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee, challenging the teaching of evolution in public schools.
Okay.
And then let me go 3 weeks further to July 29th. Notice again, these are all Tuesdays. On July 29th, we have one of the world's great authorities, this guy, again, from UC Berkeley, mm-hmm. talking about quantum gravity. So Ooh. You see, we got quite a few subjects covered here. We've got biology, psychology of love. We got some history of science and evolution on trial. And we've got physics with quantum gravity.
But I want to go back to the science of love. Can you really break love down to, it's an age-old question. Can love be more than a biochemical reaction?
Wow. Well, just understanding that would be fantastic. Right? the speaker, well, first, the formal title of that talk, and this is, again, June 24th, a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The formal title is Heartstrings and Brainwaves, Decoding the Science of Love. And the speaker is quite well known as the author of a widely read book called A General Theory of Love. His name is Dr. Thomas B. Lewis. He's from UCSF and also from the University of San Francisco. So he'll be talking about, he'll talk a little bit about neuroscience, but also, I guess, not dealing with neurons now, but just human behavior, of course, and other animal behavior,
mm-hmm.
animals that may demonstrate love in that session room.